+49.
Bienvenidos to a new episode of +49. I am your host, Sigrid Arteaga. Thank you so much for tuning in. This week, we're diving into the world of work, opportunity, and inclusion with our very special guest, Begoña de la Marta from Frauenalia, an initiative committed to boosting diversity and equal opportunities in Germany's economy and society. We'll also unpack some of this week's biggest news stories, and since it's the end of April, we couldn't let you go without a look into one of Germany's most lively spring traditions, Tanz in den Mai. Also, don't forget that we will be live from the I Am Expat Fair on the 17th of May. Register for free at the iamexpat.de. It is time to check in with what's been making headlines in Germany this week, because there is plenty to unpack. First up, Berlin's integration senator, Kanzel Kilsteppe from the SPD, is calling for easier access to the labor market for immigrants. At the recent Integrationsministerkonferenz in Göttingen, she pushed a notion urging the federal government to cut red tape and improve conditions for foreign workers. The senator stressed that Germany is dependent on immigration to maintain its living standards, pointing to research from the Institute for Employment Research, which estimates that 400,000 net immigrants per year are needed to keep the workforce stable until 2060. She highlighted common barriers like complex recognition process for qualifications, low pay, and rising skepticism around migration. The proposal calls for reforms to federal funding programs and stronger support for company integration foreign talents. In her word, we must act urgently. Meanwhile, Germany is rolling out the long-awaited electronic patient file, or EPA. Starting April 29th, practices can begin using the system voluntarily. From October the 1st, it will become mandatory nationwide. The rollout comes with a grace period to give practices time to get the right software in place. Health Minister Lauterbach says the soft start ensures tech readiness and patient safety after recent data security concerns. And finally, a cannabis bust at Berlin's BER airport made headlines after custom officers discover 68 kilograms of marijuana in two suitcases, making it the largest cannabis seizure in the airport's history. The suspects were traveling from Bangkok via Doha. While cannabis is legal in Germany for personal use, transporting it across borders remains strictly prohibited. That is it for your news roundup for this week. Stay tuned, we'll be back after this short music break. It is the end of April, and across Germany, there is one thing. Tanz in den Mai is just around the corner. On the 9th of April the 30th, people gather to say goodbye to winter and welcome spring, with music, dancing, bonfires, and plenty of celebration. But where does this tradition come from? Well, its roots go back to ancient times, specifically to the Walpurgisnacht. According to the legend, this was the night when witches would fly to the broken mountain in the Harz region, gathering around roaring fires to dance, cast spells, and celebrate the devil himself. Well, that sounds like something out of a fairy tale. The tradition lives on, especially in the Harz, where thousands still dress up as witches and devils to party through the night. In the rest of Germany, Tanz in den Mai has taken a little bit more of a modern feel. People celebrate with parties, concerts, and festivals. The best part? Well, May 1st is a national holiday, Tag der Arbeit, so staying out late is encouraged. Another beloved tradition is the Maifeuer, or May bonfire. Much like the Easter fire, these flames are meant to chase away the spirits of winter, please, very, very far away, and light the way into the warm half of the year. Then there's the Maibaum, or Maypole. a beautiful decorated tree that pops up in a village square and city centers across the country, especially in Bavaria, North Rhine-Westphalia, and the Rhineland. For many, it's not just a festive decoration, it is also a romantic gesture. You see, in other places of the world, you get flowers. In Germany, you get a pole with decorations. Anyhow, in some regions, it's customary for young men to place a small, lovingly decorated birch tree outside the home of their crush. Again, how romantic is that to get a stick as a sign of being in a crush? And what would a proper Maifest be without something sweet to sip? An alcoholic as well, please. Enter the Maibowle, a refreshing punch made with wine, sparkling water, and a sweet woodruff, Waldmeister, which is seasoned from April to June. It is bright, slightly floral, and the perfect way to toast to spring. So, whether you're heading to the Walpurgis party in the huts, dancing with friends, or just enjoying a glass of Maibowle under the stars, there's no better way to welcome May than with a bit of music, tradition, and joy, and a stick. This is our interview, the part that I love the most, because I have the chance to talk to very interesting people. And in this case, I'm talking with Begoña. She's not only one of these powerhouses and power Frauen in Germany, but also someone that I knew from a very different context. But today I can interview her because she's also the director and the founder of Frauenalia. Begoña, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Sigrid, for the invitation. It's my pleasure being here. And as you said, after so many years knowing each other from other contexts, meeting again today in the podcast is a great joy for me.
Thank you so much. Let's start with what is Frauenalia and who is Begoña?
Okay, let's start maybe with Begoña, because the story of Frauenalia is very much connected to the story of Begoña. So Begoña is a Spaniard, expat from Spain, who has been living in Germany for the last 25 years. And it's already half German. I always say so. Half of my heart is Berliner and half Spanish. I come from Andalusian, and as I said, I moved to Germany in 1999. And I actually, the first time I was in Berlin, it was in 96. It was in the summer. I came to make an internship during my studies in my university time, and I fell in love with the city. I thought Berlin is so great. It was summer. I was bringing kind of autumn Andalusian clothes, and it was so hot that summer that I remember I had to go and make some shopping here and buying t-shirts and shorts. So 3 years later, you know how it is, so sometimes destiny plays crazy, and I came back to Berlin. But the big difference was that I arrived at the beginning of October, just starting the summer. So then I found a city which I hadn't met when I was here in 96 in the summer. So my first winter here was especially difficult because I thought this is not what I was dreaming of. And then the spring came and then the summer came again. And I thought, yeah, this is the city which I met 3 years ago. But still, I'm still in love with Berlin. That's why that's the reason why I remained here. And I have been living here, happily living here for the last 25 years. And my professional background is I'm a lawyer from profession, and I have been practicing, I was practicing law for 15 years here until I became mom. And then I realized at the time my son was born, I was partner in a law firm, and I realized it is not possible to combine being a mom, spending time with my son, and keeping the rhythm of my professional life. So I decided to take a break. And in this break, actually becoming a man was for me, let's say, before and after point in my life in Germany, because being an international lawyer in Berlin, it was somehow my description or how I was qualified. And then suddenly I became mom and I realized, yeah, I am an international lawyer, but I am a migrant here. And so I had to go through this migration process, which many people go through when they arrive to Germany. I went through this migration process after being 15 years here in Germany.
We're back with Begoña, and she was just telling us about this Berlin that a lot of us heard when we wanted to migrate to Germany, when they say like, oh, Berlin is so creative and so new and it's so great. And then you arrive in the 2000s and something and you realize that it's not longer that. But as soon as summer comes over, you believe in anything. Begoña, you were telling us about your process after 15 years in Berlin, starting to be a migrant mom, and how that evolved.
Yes, exactly. And then, so I took my Elternzeit, no? So, and then I decided that my life as a lawyer was not possible because I wanted to pick up my child every day from the kita and I wanted to spend time with him. So I decided, okay, then I'm very much happy with what I achieved so far. So I will start something new, which gives me more time and more flexibility to be a mom. And as a lawyer, it's very difficult because everybody would be asking me, what do you want to do? You are a lawyer, so what else can you do? And I always thought there must be a way. And in that time of my life, I got to know also other, let's say, profile of women. And I met many expats who came to Berlin and had to give up their professional career due to the migration process. And they are qualified in women who had not only academic degrees, but also experience in at least one or two countries, and they could not get a job here in Berlin. Then I realized there was this need in the market to help these women to integrate into the labor market. And leaving my own process of finding a new professional path, I thought for me, if it's so difficult for me, and I can speak German, I have a network of many people after working here 15 years, I have experience here. So how difficult should be for all these women who don't speak German so far with a B2 or C1, who don't know the system and who don't know anybody. So then I thought, okay, this gave me the impulse to and the idea to found Frauenalia. So basically what Frauenalia does is helping female expats to continue their professional career in Germany, either as an employee or founding their own businesses. And because it's not a question of getting some job, it's a question of keeping developing and growing professional in this country. And that's why we, Frauenalia, exists, and that's what we do with our clients.
I think one part of the migration process that we don't really talk about is once you migrated, it's not only that you're starting from zero, but you also have to say goodbye to a lot of the expectations that you had back home. Because here the rules are different, the system is different, and the market is also very different. So it's also kind of a grief point in your life that you have to decide to let that person who you thought you were going to be in back home and embrace the one that you might be here.
Absolutely, Sigrid. Yeah. This is one part of our identity which we grieve and we need to let go to also allow space for, as you said, yeah, letting space for our new identity to arise and being bold, not being afraid. And I can tell you, we have so many Volksgeschichte. We have so many cases of women who went through the process with us and they are happily working in German companies or who found their business and also through finding their own companies could also develop ideas which they had maybe in their countries and maybe they would have never thought of becoming entrepreneurs. But the migration process, as we were speaking, and the situation in Germany allowed them and brought them to these new ideas and this new path of personal and professional development.
In your experience in Frauenalia, what are the most difficult parts to adapt as a woman in the German society, and especially, of course, in the work field?
Well, it's difficult to say. There is not one unique formula or one unique reason, but there are different elements which make this process very difficult. In any case, the language remains a main factor, secret, because, yeah, our accent plays a role, not only reaching B2 or C1 of the German level, yeah. There is this, I was shortly in a conference, it was an international doctors, and the keynote said that is the game of the B2, no? Many people think that when they arrive to Germany and they are going to reach the B2, then they will be ready to integrate into the German market, labor market. And they realize after getting B2, he was saying, you can only say, no, and not more than that, no? So this is a truth. I mean, many people come here and say, okay, once I get the B2, then I can start sending my CVs and then I will go to job messe and whatever. They realize in many cases with the B2, it's not enough, yeah, to get into the German market or to get a job offer. So the language plays a big role and creates a big insecurity at the beginning. The second issue is the not knowing the system. We have women here who arrive and say, I sent 80 CVs and I got no response. What is the reason for that? Yeah. And on the other side, we get also the information from German employers that people that they get many applications from no German who don't really answer, yeah, to the job offer. So one needs to understand how the system works here. When you apply, when you send an application, you really need to know how it works. Another issue is the interculturality, because we do, in every culture, has its own particularities. And at the beginning, this has also an impact. Getting to know and accepting the German culture is part of this growing process of your new identity. And it's important to feel in peace and to be satisfied with a new identity, which we develop here. So these three main issues is, let's say, it's always the common factor which we observe in women.
So it's basically a lifelong task you're asking.
Absolutely, because you never stop learning German. But many people ask me, for example, about the accent. No, I think that most of us go through this, let's say, trauma of after being so many years here and still have this accent. Yeah, but this is part of our personality. And until you reach that point where you say, this is what Begonia is about. Begonia has her own accent in German, in English, and no matter which language I speak, yeah? And this is part of me. But at the beginning, it's a process, as you said. It's a lifelong process.
It's beautiful. It's the best way to describe it. Just embrace who you are now and embrace your accent. I think that's beautiful. So we were talking about the accents. And of course, the common places. At the end of the day, as Mexicans, I am known either by the cartels or Arriba Arriba Speedy González, which I still don't understand why, but okay. Or Chile con Carne, which is also not Mexican, but oh well, it is what it is. What are the stereotypes that people believe that who are trying to adapt to Germany? And they are still, you know, these typical stereotypes from the Germans. And then maybe they understand like, oh, no, maybe the Germans are not this way. Because sometimes you come to Berlin with one idea, as you were saying, the summer in Berlin, and then you have another city. And then you come to Germany with one idea of how the Germans are, a very stereotypical way, and then turns out it's very different. How do you deal with that?
So we always try and we do it. Yeah. We invite always our participants to get rid of these stereotypes because basically, of course, let's say more than stereotypes, let's say there are common factors that we see in each culture. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that all of them are the same, but never or always. So each of us has absolutely funny, let's say, experiences with German culture here. But I cannot say, let's say, that all people working in Bäckerei are unfriendly, because I think that many of us have experience in Bäckerei when we get here to Germany, but it doesn't mean that all of them are unfriendly. So this is a small example, yeah, but this is what one main issue when we start working with our participants is to invite them to take another perspective. And the fact of maybe having had a not very nice experience with a German person, it doesn't mean that all German people are like this. It doesn't mean that all Germans are inflexible because they are square heads. It's not, it doesn't mean that they organize even the private appointments 2 months in ahead. There are people who do it like that, but not everybody is like that. So this change of perspective also gives you an openness to better interact with another culture.
Intercultural communication is not really something very old, and at least not a lot of people know how to eat it, as we would say in Mexico. You were talking right now about workshops that you do in Fraguenalia. What are the tools that you give to the people that access the Fraguenalia services?
So we have two main subjects in our company. One of them is professional integration into the labor market, and the other one is entrepreneurship. And for each of these two main areas, we offer different projects, which are subsidized either from Ministry of Labor and Social Matters or the Government of Berlin. And both projects are a combination of workshops, group coachings or individual coachings. And we try always to, our approach is to offer an integral, let's say, trip to each participant, so that the empowerment should be always going hand by hand with a realistic option, either for your professional career in Germany or for founding your business. Meaning that we have maybe women who come with a business idea, and in many cases it may be a bit difficult to make it possible. So we accompany them in a way of developing and maybe bringing this idea to a realistic option for them.
I love that you're so well integrated that between your answers there's a yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, that would be actually my last question. What are the German traits that you already have integrated in you?
It's not tricks. I think that this migration process allow us to build up our new identity in a consciously way. Yeah, so you decide which, let's say, subjects, which properties from the German culture you want to assume or you want to take over. And based on that, you have a puzzle, and then you decide, okay, which pieces I'm taking over. So I took over, in any case, the punctuality, because, you know, Sigrid, we come from cultures when being punctual is not polite. So you have to be punctual. Otherwise, people say, it's 8 o'clock, what she's doing here? So this is, in any case, something which I assume. There is one word in German which I love, and we don't have actually in our mother tongue, which is sachlich. Yeah, I find, especially in business, very important to keep sachlich, to keep objective on the things. And then, reflecting from a sachlich perspective before taking decisions.
I love that word. I think we're going to start using that in somewhere, because there are so many amazing words that you cannot really translate.
Absolutely.
The one that always comes to my mind is selbstverständlich, but sachlich, it's also a very good one.
Yeah. And another thing, which I, another trick, as you mentioned, is maybe not taking things personally. We come from cultures, no, where if somebody makes you a joke and tells you something, we always tend to take things personally. And this I learned also from the German culture.
I think that is one of the things that definitely can make your life much more easier if you don't take things personally. I will also put that in somewhere that I can see. Be a little bit more German. Don't take things personally. Begoña, if someone wants to contact you and Frau Nalia, how can we find you?
Yes. So you can find us in our website, is frauenalia.com. And we are in the different social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. So if you just look for each of them in the different social media channels, you will find us. And also in our website, you find the link to each of our channels.
Begoña, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Clause 49. Ask a German.
So my question is the following. What is a German humor? What do you understand about humor in Germany? You know what? Because I come from Andalusian and we make jokes all the time. We laugh about ourselves all the time. Yeah. And when I came to Germany, I realized my colleagues could not understand my jokes. They were looking at me so weird. And this is one of the things which I had to get rid of my humor because it was not understood here. This is something which I hear also from many expats. Yeah. Germans never make jokes. Which kind of humor is that?
When people think about Germans and humor, the stereotype is pretty clear. Germans are serious, efficient, and about as funny as a text form. But I would say that's far from the truth. German humor absolutely exists. It's just a bit different from what many international audiences are used to. Because one key characteristic is its dryness. German humor is often incredibly dry, so that without paying close attention, you might not even notice someone is joking. Actually, there's rarely a change in tone or facial expression to signal a punchline. Sarcasm is common too, but it's delivered with the same seriousness as a weather report. If you suspect a German as being sarcastic, your best bet is to reply with your own deadpan comment and wait for a glimmer of recognition, maybe a very subtle smile. German humor also leans heavily into irony, wordplay, and dark wit. It's more philosophical and often lays with a quiet, clever critique rather than loud punchlines. It's a humor that rewards paying attention rather than quick laughs. Another big cultural difference is also the attitude towards self-mockery. In English-speaking cultures, poking fun at yourself is seen as a strength, showing confidence and openness. In Germany, however, making yourself the butt of a joke can feel strange and even uncomfortable. Germans prefer their jokes to be aimed at broader situations, cultural absurdities, or social quirks, not necessarily at themselves. The comparison with British humor often comes up, and for good reason. Both can be dry, sarcastic, and witty. However, British humor often plays more openly with absurdity and self-deprecation, while German humor stays closer to real life and tends to be more precise, almost intellectual. And in professional settings, don't expect a lot of joking around. Meetings, emails, even casual chats with colleagues, Germans like to keep it pretty formal. But don't worry, that doesn't mean they don't have a sense of humor. It's just more reserved for private moments among friends or family. And no, it's not all highbrow satire and dark irony. Germans definitely appreciate the simple, goofy stuff too. Take dad jokes, for example. I personally grew up with a dad who loved telling the absolute worst jokes you can imagine. You know, the kind where the punchline is so bad, it's actually hilarious. Germans love those. Or at least I did, when I was younger, and even today. In fact, the art of telling a ridiculously unfunny joke and then laughing about it, how terrible it is alive and well here. So yes, Germans, in my opinion at least, are funny. Just don't expect flashing neon signs saying this is a joke. Humor here is quieter, sharper, and sometimes so absurdly bad that you can't help but laugh anyway.
Mm-hmm. that's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. A big thank you to Begoña from Frauenalia for sharing her insights and her passion for building a more inclusive and diverse workforce here in Germany. Thank you also, Marlene, for producing this show. We hope today's stories give you plenty to think about. And don't forget, whether you're dancing into May or simply enjoying the longer days ahead, spring in Germany is full of energy, renewal, and a little bit of magic. We hope to see you at the I Am Expat Fair on May the 17th. And we will be back next week with more expat voices and local insights. Until then, take care, stay curious, and happy Tanzenden Mai. Hasta la próxima.